And now a story that connects the past and the present in a way that would have stunned New England's 19th century whalers who sailed the globe hunting whales for that blubber that produced oil, an important pillar of the 19th century economy. But it turns out there would be another contribution to climate science, because those sailors were prodigious writers, trackers, data seekers, logging every current, temperature fluctuation, wind gust, latitude and longitude. Recently, a Massachusetts historian realized those figures could give scientists information they need to determine how climate is changing. Timothy Walker is an historian at the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth, and now, because of his findings, also a guest investigator at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Falmouth, Massachusetts. Professor Walker, we understand you and an ocean scientist friend had a hunch that the whaling logs, you know, could be a scientific treasure trove. What happened next?
So we contacted Caroline Umenhofer at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, who listened to our idea of using whaling logbooks for the climate data and the weather data that they contained. And after just a few minutes, Caroline got very excited and said, yes, we can really make use of this information.
Right. And talk about what you see. I mean, when we say that the sailors had to keep these logs, there was no computer back then. They couldn't register anything anywhere but in these logs.
Imagine a room with literally thousands of books. No single book is the same. And furthermore, the handwriting in them are so unique that it makes it very difficult for any kind of modern computer machine reading to accomplish. So we rely on human beings who are trained in reading old writing, the art of paleography, to go in and read these logbooks. They are remarkable documents. They record everything that happened on board the ship during the voyage, including the capturing of whales, the ports that they go to. Every single day, they record several times a day the wind speed, the wind direction, the kind of weather that they're experiencing, whether or not there's precipitation, all of these extremely important data points of weather.
Tell us more about that and how it helps climate scientists today.
They can take that and build a kind of mosaic of climate data points, which allows them to sort of reconstruct the weather in very obscure and very far removed places. One of the things that makes the whaling logbook data so valuable is that the whalers are not keeping to the established shipping lanes that military ships or merchant ships would have stayed to. You know, they would follow the most efficient way to get from point A to point B. But of course, the whales don't do that, and the whalers are trying to catch the whales. And so they go to some of the most remote parts of the ocean. The whalers can fill in whaling information going back to the middle of the 18th century, the 1700s, to fill in data that simply is not available from any other source. And that makes these, from a scientific point of view, unique and extraordinarily important.
Tell me more. So let's say, you're hearing how the winds were blowing, or that the current was, you know, running a certain way, or that the water felt a certain temperature. How does that help climate research today?
So to understand why the weather is behaving in the odd ways that it is in the 21st century, scientists have to know what weather looked like going back for as far as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. To be more specific, one of the things that we are noticing is that there has been a marked shift in the winds of the southern hemisphere, the strongest belt of winds, which used to be known as the Roaring Forties. And this is recorded by the whalers as a very strong belt of winds that went around the southern half of the planet. They would use it as kind of a maritime highway to get quickly from place to place. The winds blow from west to east. Those winds have shifted southward towards the end of the 20th century and into the 21st century. The result of that is that things like rainfall, droughts, the danger for a fire that's happening in Australia and southern Africa and India, those threats from weather-related climate change can be tracked using the weather data that we're finding. Mm. The monsoon winds of the Indian Ocean, for example, which we have data for in the whaling logbooks, we can track changes in the arrival of the monsoons, which has the importance of delivering much-needed water to an enormous proportion of the world's human population. So these data, which allows scientists to have kind of a window onto the weather going back almost three centuries, when otherwise they wouldn't have data going back earlier than, say, the 1980s or so.
Talk about what else is in those logs. What are you and the people who can read, as you said, old writing?
Sure.
What are we learning about what happened on those ships from these logs?
Our researchers, quite naturally, are interested in the human stories that you find in the pages of those books. Stories of the sailors when they go into port and the things that they get up to, and people jumping ship like Herman Melville did. Herman Melville left his first and only whaling voyage out in the Pacific. He was very typical of whalers who often would leave a ship if they didn't like the officers or the captain. You find fights, you know, knife fights in the forecastle between whalers who are cooped up on a ship for 2 to 3 years together. And if they don't get along, then you often find altercations and all of these amazing stories that we have to encourage our researchers to ignore because we want them to keep their eyes on the prize of getting the climate data as quickly as possible. One of the most interesting stories I found was a hit-and-run event that happened in the middle of the Indian Ocean at night, where a New Bedford whaler was struck by another ship that they never were able to identify. People pass away. Crew has to be picked up and incorporated into the existing crew in very exotic locations. It's one of the things that explains why New Bedford and this area has a very large population of people from the Azores Islands and the Cape Verde Islands.
New Bedford and the New Bedford Whaling Museum, we can't recommend it enough for people who are coming to New England and want to get a flavor of old New England. But can people look at these logs? Can the average visitor look at these logs?
Generally speaking, yes. They are an open access public site. And increasingly, as we raise funds for the digitization of these logbooks, so that our researchers don't actually have to go on site and see them, increasingly the logbooks are available online. But we still have a ways to go to get the 2,500 logbooks that are at the New Bedford Whaling Museum fully digitized and available online.
Wow. You mentioned Melville, and I'm thinking, do these logs reflect an awe of this animal? Or is it just business to them at that point?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. The logbooks themselves are remarkably workaday documents, but occasionally you'll have a log keeper who is smitten by something absolutely beautiful or unusual that he sees. And you do get comments about the amount of work and the extraordinary size of some of the creatures that they're encountering and hunting. And they often contain extraordinary folk art. The sailors will draw hand-drawn images of their own ships, of other ships that they encounter. They're making drawings of some of the islands and the headlands that they pass.
We said at the outset that these whalers would be astonished at the science that would be built around their logs, but also that at this time, we're trying to save those whales, you know?
So one of the things that has evolved as our project has evolved, we've been contacted by people who are interested in tracking the fauna of the world's oceans. And so they've asked us to also note in our database instances where the whalers encountered seals or penguins or other kinds of marine creatures whose populations have become very diminished. And so this is helpful now, not only for weather scientists, but for biologists who are interested in tracking ocean biology. And so we're starting to do that as well. The other thing I would say is that the reach of this project has been surprising to me, because our data, as we collect it, is being fed into a database at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. But from there, it's going to augment existing databases. There's a global sort of umbrella database that holds all of this information. And so it is going to inform a real global effort to try to reconstruct weather patterns going back hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah. That's UMass Dartmouth History Professor Timothy Walker, who has now teamed up with scientist Caroline Umenhofer at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution to extract data from old whaling logbooks to learn more about today's climate change. Professor Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to talk about this project.